Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guests. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
The wrestling diver Nikita Koloff here, and you are listening to the Vegas Bad Boys Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact. And this is our three count. Hello, bad boys. How y'all doing?
Yeah.
Good.
Getting that that watch party started. So everyone can be able to join on. And you can join on also. Just remember, we are recording this on our Zoom on Sunday evenings, so just look for that notifications, jump on, and we can have a joint discussion, and we'll also shout you out as well. Our three count, we got three good stories for you. We're going to get going.
It's time. Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting present.
One, two, three.
Count talk.
Count talk, baby.
Our first one comes from CBR.com, and it is titled, Five Women Who Can Keep Intergender Wrestling Alive in Impact Wrestling. So, this is how they break it down. Jordan Grace.
Don't ask Lucky this.
No. Well, let's see if I can make a good case for you, Lucky, all right? Take a listen right quick.
Money.
With Jordynne Grace, all right, as a powerful wrestler, she's the rare woman to take more inspiration from Scott Steiner than Trish Stratus. She would have no problem holding her own with any man on Impact's roster with Havoc. Outside of Impact, she's wrestled intergender matches with everyone from the fellow Impact star and boyfriend, Sami Callihan, to hardcore wrestler Nick Gage. She has the physicality to be a threat to anyone, male or female. How about Kimberly? She competed in the first Mae Young Classic, where she made it to the quarterfinals, losing to Mercedes Martinez. Her first round match with Alpha Female was one of the most standouts in the tournament. It was what put her on WWE's radar and what makes her a good candidate to be Impact's next intergender star. How about Sue Young? Since re-signing with Impact, she's worked more as Susie, but Sue's never too far from coming back to the surface. The Undead Bride version of the character will be a natural choice for intergender matches. Lastly, Taya Valkyrie. Her run in AAA-owned Lucha Underground gives her all the intergender credential she needs. Now, of course, we are talking about Impact Wrestling here, but at the same time, in this discussion, if we want to talk about intergender wrestling just in general with even the other companies, we can do that. So the question out there, fellas, how important should intergender wrestling continue to move forward? You know, we did have that with Tessa Blanchard. She was with Impact Wrestling. She did, I would think, an awesome job at the time representing, being the first woman to hold that title. It's showing that it can be done. The question becomes, should we continue to move forward now that she is no longer the Impact champion? Doesn't matter if it's with Impact or any other company. King Lucky, I'll start with you right quick. Now that I've kind of, gave five ladies that have receipts in many ways of showing that they can handle themselves with the men wrestlers, would you think that intergender wrestling should continue to move forward? Or do you think we should just halt it from where it's at right now?
No, I mean, listen, it's cool. The matches are cool, but it's something that shouldn't be a regular occurrence, in my estimation. It's not believable over a long period of time. They kind of, Tessa did a really great job with it. It was a very unique story, and they were able to tell that story really well and make history with it. But, I mean, if you look at it, they painted themselves in a corner because going forward, are you really going to have her wrestle some of these other guys, the larger guys? Sammy, as it stands, was a smaller guy, so it made sense. But overall, I don't think it should continue. I think it was great for what it was.
Okay.
Will there be some one-off matches that I'll enjoy in the future? Absolutely. But I don't think – I mean, it shouldn't be a main focal point of any company.
Interesting. Wow. Simon Street, what's your take, man? I mean, we at some point didn't even think that this would ever happen, period. Impact was the one that said, well, let's be the one to jump on this. And they had Tessa Blanchard, who represented them and did a good job with doing that. She's no longer with the company, but, I mean, should someone now take this ball and continue, or is it a wrap?
I don't think it should be a wrap, because the one thing that I think people need to start kind of observing, too, is women's wrestling is a draw. It is a legitimate draw. Almost half of your show now consists on how well the women's divisions do.
Mm-hmm.
AEW obviously could get a bigger score weekly if they had a deeper women's division roster. So it should always be in the realm of possibility, and we should be having opportunities as much as possible for intergender matches, because I do see that as the future. Not even just saying that, hey, women are here. They can wrestle. They can entertain you. They can still do everything that the males can do in the ring. Even now, we're seeing women have hardcore matches that are hellacious and scary. So
is there a woman that you would conceivably say, hey, she should go against Brock Lesnar?
I would say Havoc. That would be one woman. I would say, obviously, there's going to be some realism to that. I don't see Brock Lesnar signing up to face a woman in her capacity unless the money was right.
Exactly.
And I'm just kidding. That's just Brock Lesnar in general. Mm-hmm. And I see that's what you're going with. And obviously, but again, you have to look at it like this. I'm sure Braun Strowman would love to wrestle Alexa Bliss.
Well, again,
but unfortunately, it's not going
to
happen.
It doesn't have to all be big men, right? What if
it doesn't? No, it does not.
No.
Yeah.
But that the opportunity happens is what my point is. We don't want to go super outlandishly, because even, let's be honest, Rey Mysterio and some of the wins he's had has been a little outlandish, but they presented a still realistic point of view. He had the speed. He had the ingenuity in the ring to overcome those obstacles. If they were to do a Tessa Blanchard versus Brock Lesnar, which is fathomable to even say, they would have to go the mile to present it well enough. It should no longer be an impossibility that a woman could beat up somebody. Jordynne Grace could rough shop on a whole bunch of guys on the NXT roster and the AEW roster. And it could be believable and you would like it.
Yeah.
But I think it's time for us, again, to push those boundaries and present it to where it's no longer a taboo and it's a norm. Then so it can grow into something that we'll all like.
I mean, realistically, there's something to be said about moderation.
Mm-hmm.
So it all depends on what your particular situation is like in your federation, your locker room, mm-hmm. your roster. If you legitimately feel as if you have a talent that is transcendent, that can, fill all of those obligations, I should say, sorry. Then I think it'd be a good thing to, not necessarily shy away from it. I think it's something that if it presents itself as being a good opportunity, then that's something that should happen. But it shouldn't be something that's, attempted to be shoehorned in. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't, look to have an intergender match just to have an intergender match. So if it's organic and if the circumstances present themselves, then sure, why not? I'm not opposed to it. But realistically, it shouldn't be an every show thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
All right, Matt Michaels, what's your take on this, man? Should we just continue to move forward on this, or it should just stop, and that's the end of that?
It doesn't matter. It's the fact of the matter is that, like, how many federations, how many companies are going to be putting females against males for their heavyweight championship in the major promotions. It's just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's a dumb, you know. Listen, the Impact did it because they had nothing else they could fucking do at that point. It was something to try to get publicity, to try to get attention. It worked to an extent, but they also knew that Tessa's contract was going to be coming up. They, you know, they put themselves in that position. So, you know, whether it should affect, I mean, Intergenerational Wrestling, listen, WWE did the mixed tag match tournament twice.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's something that if they're open to doing it, then, you know, other companies are going to follow suit. So you'll see it happen again. But I don't know if you should, you know, I don't know if they're going to be putting on any belts, you know, major championships. Think about it. China held the IC belt, you know,
mm-hmm.
and after that, that's when the it was a period that was considered the IC belt just being kind of a wasted title. So you know, it is what it is. And with all the speaking out stuff and whatnot, it might seem a little passe to do intergender matches right now.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, they'll continue.
So you just think it was just good during this time?
What was that?
I say you just believe that it was good during the time that they ran it. It was.
It was what it was. You know,
mm-hmm.
I can say it was good. I'm not going to say it was bad. There was nothing that stood out as spectacular.
I mean, is there any importance to it? I mean, is it something that should be looked at as continuing, though, or just that's not anymore? Is it even an interest to fans, do you think?
But it's a ridiculous question, because the answer to a question like that shouldn't be, should this particular thing be appealing to fans? It should be, Do you get excited? Would a Charlotte Flair Randy Orton match work? You know,
when you say work, it's working because it's being cheered for, or it's being liked by fans.
I'm talking about working, meaning that the two wrestlers are two wrestlers you'd give a shit about. Listen, Tessa took the bell off of Sami Callihan. I mean, how many Sami Callihan fans are out there? They were probably the ones who were pissed, but all six of them probably were fine after a while.
But that's interesting that you say that, because what does that say? Does that say, like, you got knocked out by a girl type of attitude in a way, because it's not believable? I'm just wondering.
Give me Tessa Blanchard versus John Morrison, then I'm interested. It's Sami Callihan. That's what I'm saying. There was no value in the title to begin with.
But it did put some value into Sami Callihan. I mean, I think you kind of discredit him a little bit. I see your point, but you make it seem like he was bottom of the barrel.
Are you paying $60 to sit front row to see Sami Callihan defend that title?
Okay, I see your point. But I'm not saying that he is as bad as at least you were sounding.
It has nothing to do with bad. You're missing the point. The point is, there are certain wrestlers that you go, yeah, Tessa Blanchard, John Morrison, fuck yeah. You know? I mean, look at Taya. Taya's amazing with guys.
Mm-hmm.
She's awesome in intergender matches. I'm more excited, though, to see Taya go against someone who is more established than, you know, someone who's traditionally a mid-carder.
Mm. Well, yeah, and I give you that, because you do want it to be somewhat realistic or believable, you know.
You want something that has, if you're going to have the female take the belt from a male, have the male be one of your established talents. Let's put it this way. John Cena drops the title to Charlotte Flair. That's big.
Yeah.
But if R-Truth drops the title to Charlotte Flair, what the fuck?
Yeah. I almost thought something similar to that was going to happen this Monday with Shayna Baszler.
Yeah, I thought it was getting ready.
I thought that was about to happen. Yeah, it makes sense. I see your point. I just wanted to be realistic, and if ever they want to pull the trigger on that, you know, just do it. Just make sure it's not crazy stupid.
I'll tell you what. There's been a lot of intergender matches that happen on like the smaller local indie shows, and I don't mind seeing it. Maybe in that venue. Because they do make for some interesting matchups. But I think when you get to, where you had Impact Wrestling, that was a very unique situation where out of necessity, they needed something like that. And it made sense for that time and period. So, you know, are there some exciting matchups? Yes. Is like Charlotte Flair and Randy Orton one of them? No. But like Matt Michael says, you know, if you were going to have it mean something, it would be to go over on a bigger star. So I'd be game for something like that. But other than that,
it's a wrap, huh? Don't even try it. Okay. All right, you guys. Well, that'll be our first count. Let's jump right over into our second one. Now, of course, about a month ago, we had the hashtag speaking out movement. And since there has been some wrestlers who have addressed their allegations through their social media. Now, these stories come from ProWrestlingSheet.com, also WrestlingInc.com, and Twitter that we're also going to play from Matt Riddle. So the bottom line is this. Again, there's some wrestlers that have now addressed that didn't address right before. We'll start off with Joey Ryan. This past weekend, he shared nearly an hour-long video on Saturday addressing every single allegation made against him in the hashtag speaking out movement. And Joey, he says the reason he has not commented on the matter yet is because his therapist told him to take a break from social media, and his lawyer told him to not comment on any of the allegations until he can look into them due to the severity of some of those claims. And I guess since there's no legal action that's being taken, he decided to address them. And guys, he literally addressed every claim that was on there. All right, over to Jay Lethal. He says, look, it's always been my choice to use silence to keep dignity, refrain from public attacking people I'm not fun of, and relying on who I've been as a person to speak for itself. I've also never wanted to use my platform to boost or give attention to any negativity. I do, however, know and realize that some people would sadly take my silence to mean something else. He said that the hashtag speaking out movement has given him hope that the industry that he's chosen to give his life to will become a better place. I've wanted to stand in support of all those brave enough to share the painful stories, and unfortunately was afraid due to the lies that are being said about me. Now, I've never and would never sexually harass, sexually assault, rape, or force myself on anyone. I would never use my status to deny anyone opportunities. Even now, it pains me to know that defending myself might somehow tarnish an important movement and cast doubt on the real and troubling experience. And then you have Matt Riddle, who went to his Twitter.
Crazy. At the end of the day, I'm not perfect. We did have an affair, and I'm not happy about that. But I never sexually abused anybody. I never sexually assaulted anybody. And when I wanted to get out of this relationship, out of this situation, she said no, and she kept pursuing me and harassing me and stalking me. And then when she didn't get her way, she used the speak out movement to try to ruin my career. Completely unacceptable. That's all I really have to say. That's the story. Everybody have a great day. Take care.
So how careful does one have to be? Because, listen, I believe that the investigations that took place really did happen. I don't believe WWE just ignored Matt Riddle and said, go out there and wrestle. I think they really looked into them. The same thing I would say with probably Jay Lethal. They looked into them and you know, allowed him to stay. Although for Joey Ryan, they looked like they quickly reacted. And I believe even at the bottom of this article, it says that Impact... he notes that they never reached out to him after announcing they were investigating the situation and say they were just, quote, chasing the clout, unquote, by firing him from the promotion. And he says he also also claims to be thinking about taking legal course regarding the false claims. So, guys, we know that the hashtag speaking out movement was important. We definitely not only spoke against that, we even had talent on our show to talk about that as well, as they had their own experiences. But, you know, we also know that people could take advantage as well of situations that's like this. And, you know, it shows that you definitely have to be careful before giving judgment. Now, you see these stories that come out with these three wrestlers, and there's others that have spoke out against this. What do you think, you know, now that we are a month that is in this, when you have this type of allegations being brought out, you know, how much investigation should go in that? Once you find out that people are lying, should there be legal cases that should come up against them? Because that is sort of defamation, right? That you're having against somebody's name and their you know, their overall a life that you can be ending. It's a serious topic, but it seems like that the voices of some of these people are being ignored as well. How do we go forward with this when these allegations, that the investigations should really be treated fairly, and then once they are completely, you know, brought out, we then, you know, look at this and show that this person is not who they are said to be.
So, do all lives matter?
All lives matter.
Do all lives matter?
Yes, all lives matter.
Okay, I'm using it in the context of the movement. Right? Black Lives Matter was countered by All Lives Matter.
Right.
That's pretty much the same type of situation here. What you're doing is you end up deflecting off of what the actual issue is. And that is, women are being harassed at the job place and with some of these wrestlers, you know, potentially at bars or whatever. The fact of the matter is that the reason speaking out is an important movement is because women have typically not been able to speak out.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because when they do, then you immediately get, well, I didn't do it. She's making it up. All right? So it's a counterbalance. It's a counterbalance argument to say basically, speaking out, hashtag speaking out, would be countered with something like hashtag everyone speaks out, meaning I get to defend myself too.
Mm-hmm.
You defend yourself if you go into, you know, a court, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, defamation. Okay, if you honestly truly didn't do this stuff, you know what you do? You sue them for defamation, because then you have to go to court and now go under oath and you have to give your story. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So it's easy for someone to say, well, I never did any of that stuff and they didn't bring legal action against me. Well, if they didn't bring legal action against you and you didn't do this stuff, why are you not suing them? It means you don't want to go on record going in front of a judge and saying that you didn't do this stuff.
Hey, good point.
No, that's a good point to look at it.
You know, or you go and you watch an hour of Joey Ryan telling you why he didn't do all this stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that's the answer. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Of course, when you're in the public eye, you're opening yourself up for potential misrepresentations, allegations thrown out there that are not true. You're looking at people who want to try to make a name off of you or get themselves, a little bit of cash or something like that. It's always a possibility. And I won't say that every single allegation is true, right? Because of that. But at the same time, you can't just dismiss the allegations without there either being actual research being done, investigations being done,
mm-hmm.
or B, going to court with it.
Yeah.
And that's as simple as that. So for instance, with Jay Lethal saying he didn't do any of this. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's great. But at the same time, I have to give the benefit of the doubt to these women.
Can I ask you a question? And I'm going to play the devil advocate on some of these things as well. When these things are brought up on their social media, there were some that literally had proof. They said, look at my phone. They printed it out. They took screenshots. They had videos. They had two or three people who was by it and said that, yep, this is... If they didn't show anything and they're saying that this happened and someone, let's say, for example, Jay Lethal say that didn't happen and no one is really showing receipts here, then is it just their word against their word? Or do you just say, well, I should still take what she says seriously, or I should just take what he says seriously? How do you go from there?
You have to, realize that when you have any type of allegation, all right, it's always he said versus she said.
Right.
Always, right? You're always going to have a side of the story of what took place versus mine. There were no cameras there. There were no record of anything. Then it's he said versus she said.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do have proof, all right, then it's harder. Now you really have to defend yourself against this proof, right?
Mm-hmm. I think we lost Michaels again. And when whenever we lose Michael and he's frozen, he's always looking up in the same direction.
Usually.
You go ahead and take over, Simon, if you want to say what you're saying. When he comes back, we'll let him finish.
Yeah. Exactly what Michaels is saying is true. You know, it should always be taken seriously. Any allegation should, and there should be a process and there should be protection set in place for people who give testimony or give evidence to what they are accusing the other person, just as much as the other side should have legal protection until they can prove these allegations are untrue in a court of law. And that should always be the mind frame in general.
Yeah.
Well, the court will decide due process based on evidence of who is telling the truth, who isn't. Now, there is going to be some cases, such as Michael said, where it is lacking concrete evidence, whether that be videotape or pictures or whatever. And in those cases, I believe that's where we yet to discover what happens from there. Because let's just say if, Matt Riddle took this all the way to court. Okay, he literally took it all the way to court. And at the end of the day, they couldn't decide anything, right? It still left as his word versus her word. Now, let's say he suffered greatly because of the defamation, because we don't know because he said, she said, and that starts to affect his job opportunities. That's where there's a problem. And then that's where companies are going to have to really start being black and white with certain things, because and it sucks because on the other end, you know, a lot of people that's on the victim side of it or the people who's been perpetrated, they feel like they don't have a voice. But also on the other side, unless it's been proven in court, it should not be held against them. You know what I mean? Because there are a lot of people who probably got accused who, unfortunately, have lost their jobs and will continue not to get opportunities. And nothing went to court. Nothing's been proven. But we have a long way to go. I feel like what's happening with the speaking out movement is the first step, and it should not be just looked upon as protecting one. It's protecting and creating the whole process so that way we're letting justice happen for equal parties as best we possibly can.
I will say this. There has still been every week there's still some speaking out issues, I'm sorry, that's been coming out through some of the social media. Just kind of, you know, it's still kind of slowly coming through that we're here about. Let me ask you this, Sin City Steve, just so we can have your point on this as well. So what if someone like Joy Ryan, who, you know, every case he went down, every allegation he went down. Now, I don't know how much money Joy Ryan has or what he made at Impact. But my guess is if he wanted to say, you know what, I am going to fight this because, first off, I didn't think I should lose my job. Also, I don't want to be in a situation where I never could be in this business again. And I really do feel that I did not do this and I want to prove myself. But I don't have the cash to get a lawyer to fight all of these allegations with against all these people. Although I know if I had it, I would be able to win because I can prove it. How about those wrestlers in there that's in that particular situation who saying, look, I really had nothing to do with this, but it's very difficult to fight because that costs a lot of money and I don't have it.
Right. I mean, the thing that the type of principle that we should go off of, honestly, mm-hmm. in things like this would be trust but verify. Mm. You know, ultimately, at the end of the day, the claims need to be taken very seriously. And even if the investigations aren't done in a court of law, they will be done in the court of public opinion, which yeah. is even more damning in some cases. So I think that that's something that, you know, the public will find somebody guilty of something based on proof that's provided. And, you know, I understand that there's a line that has to be walked, mm-hmm. Because we're dealing with very, very, very sensitive issues. But at the end of the day, unfortunately you will run into people, that will, you know, be out there for revenge in, you know, in the instance with Matt Riddle, according to, you know, his side of the story. So we have to, I mean, there has to be some way to get everything straightened out, because, you know, as much as it would be nice to just say, believe everybody that's making these claims, unfortunately, there are going to be an occasional bad actor or two.
Yeah.
And that's just human nature, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, trust but verify.
Okay.
And I will say this real quick.
Sure.
And I like that Sin City Steve did say that, trust but verify. Because if you think about the long process that will be created in the end, we're not there yet, quite yet. It should be all automatically. You already know the steps that's involved from the point of an accusation to the point of the person's being accused, how long that will take. And so maybe consequences, obviously, the obvious is if this person did do this, they should be held accountable in the justice of court. But also to developing sound consequences for a person who is falsifying that more than just suing them, because mm-hmm. that happens now.
Mm-hmm.
And we do unfortunately get a lot of that, because the bigger picture is they're stealing spotlight away from the real victims.
Without a doubt.
And so that needs to be really pushed upon.
Yeah.
You know, what we do under justice court moving forward.
Okay. King Lucky, did you want to add anything to this? You know, I will say that at least in Matt Riddle's video, I would assume that, you know, WWE has enough issues they have to deal with as a corporation. So I'm sure when this came through, they really looked into it. My guess is he probably not only, you know, probably showed them text messages. probably brought his wife into it because apparently she knew about it to say what she knew. Probably he had all types of receipts to probably show that what he was saying about this affair happened, which he, again, he says it's something he's not happy about. One person we know we haven't seen is Velveteen Dream. And, you know, maybe an investigation we could say was done and maybe they have seen something. We don't know. Bottom line, though, what is your take? And, you know, how serious should this be looked into? I mean, Matt Riddle's career could have been like Joey Ryan's to this point in a wrap. And, you know, what was about to happen could have. Matt Michaels, you're going to go back on. Don't worry. But I'm listening for King Lucky. And then we'll go from there. What's your take on this?
Well, the situation with Matt Riddle was disclosed before he joined WWE. Mm-hmm. And according to all reports. So, you know, they already had record of it. I think with all these allegations, you have to take every single one of them serious. And, you know, until you're presented with the evidence that, you know, maybe it wasn't. And I watched Joey Ryan's hour-long, you know, video, and I came away conflicted because when this whole thing went down, not a lot of people – or not anybody that I can think of went to bat for him. Mm-hmm. To say that, hey, this is not the person that I know. And I think a lot of this is, you know, goes along with the gimmick. So some people have a hard time separating the two. But I did hear in his video mm-hmm. some stuff that was a little troubling to me. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that stuck out is when he said that he was going through this rough patch and then he was just hyper aggressive. Mm-hmm. You know, clearly in the wrestling culture, something's broken, right? It's allowed for wrestlers to harass, promoters to harass. And so it's really good that this conversation got opened up because now there'll be some accountability moving forward. You know, it's tough because a lot of people lost their jobs and, you know, they weren't in a court of law found guilty. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It's pretty severe.
Yeah.
You know, all these claims and a multitude of claims. So, it'll be interesting. Cody from Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast, mm-hmm. he says, will we ever forgive Joey and let him back into the wrestling community if he's never convicted?
So we're asking this like 3 weeks after all this came out? That, I mean, that's you can't answer that question. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You got it.
Well, there's really no steps that's happened yet. We have to wait.
Yeah.
Exactly. You just got to wait. I mean, the forgiveness is here's the thing about forgiveness. Matt Riddle is defended by WWE lawyers. Okay? So on top of everything else in terms of his whole story, he has WWE lawyers. Mm-hmm. Even if it did happen, it's going to be hard for it to come out that it did happen because he's got the best lawyers backing. Joey Ryan is in a bad situation because it wasn't one, two, or three. It was a whole fucking book.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
And now the fact of the matter is that if a couple people come forward, then, you know, it's kind of questionable. Well, maybe there's a bandwagon going on here. You know, for that many people, whether true or untrue, okay, meaning whether it happened the way Joey says it happened or the way the person says it happened, guess what? Something did happen that created some kind of story from both sides. That's the troubling thing. So you're going to have to now ask a promoter who, if they say, hey, Joey, we believe you, come on our show, that promoter is now basically saying, in the public eye, this is what you're going to get is, hey, that guy supports people who abuse women. So, again, it's a no-win situation right now. You got to wait, possibly in his case,
years.
Possibly years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, Joey's not a spring chicken, right? So he really doesn't. So, I mean, if it's something he wants to continue to pursue wrestling and he needs to clear his name, it's not going to necessarily just be by putting out a video.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe on the smaller claims, it's a little easier, he said, she said. But on the bigger claims, the actual sexual assault type claims, that's when you need representation. And even though there is no actual, let's say, police report or anything being filed or legally pursued, the question still remains at this point. You have to at least take that side of something probably did happen. So, unfortunately, until that gets pushed aside and it's proven nothing happened, you, if you're a promoter, you don't hire that person.
Should, just a quick question, because we got to get to our next topic. Do you think Impact Wrestling moved too quickly? Because there's no way that they could have investigated all those. Or do you just think they did make the right choice at the right time to do what they did?
I feel like they did what they felt was necessary.
And it's also hard. It's hard when you, like, we don't
know. They felt that was necessary, but that could also have been a wrong decision.
But, again, they felt it was necessary.
Right,
right.
So at the end of the day, if they comes out and he's exonerated on every one of those allegations, then yeah, they knew what they signed up for. Shame on them at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But as it stands,
and there's also, don't forget too, you can be fired from a contract.
Uh-oh. He got stuck again.
Great, great feeling.
But, blank. But my guess is
he's going to get fired from a contract. And
I think what he's going to say is you probably get, you know, he can get fired for anything pretty much. They can fire you for no reason. So, you know, if it just comes up. And that's probably what he was going to say. So that's cool. Oh, there he goes.
It was absolutely not what I was going to say.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you started freezing up. Go ahead, man.
No. If you were fired from a company, you have every reason to then sue them for wrongful termination.
Oh, got you. Right. Mm-hmm.
True.
So, again, if they fired him and he believes that he was not in the right for being fired, if they wrongfully fired him, sue him.
Got you.
And, yeah, you can say, well, you know, all these legal acts take money and whatnot. Well, what's going to happen is that something like Impact would, you know, settle out of court if they found the evidence was that they did wrongfully terminate him, you know?
Yeah.
You know, he'll make the money. It's unfortunately in all these cases, we're just salacious about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want some answers now.
Yeah.
But I will say this, that the speaking out movement was more about empowering what was once not an applicable thing for women to do freely and feel safe. So, you know, looking at that, that should be still separated from what the legalities is the next step, because that's the next step of any allegation. The purpose of speaking out is to speak out so that way incidences moving forward can be held accountable. Now, the court system and how they go back and forth.
Just like Black Lives Matter.
Exactly. It should be totally separate.
Yep.
All right. Let's get to our third topic from ringsidenews.com. It's titled Leo Rush Blames Fans for Killing Pro Wrestling. Now, I know he was off his meds, but let's just talk a little bit about the story here. Well, let's find out. Leo Rush, first off, he fired off a string of tweets on Friday afternoon for a couple of reasons. First off, he wanted to call out Finn Balor and squash the beef that they had. So that was nice of him, right? Then he turned his attention to the rest of the pro wrestling world. In a series of tweets, Leo Rush declared being black is not a gimmick. He then proceeded to direct his attention at things in this business that need to change. He stated that women championships and other corporate interests can get a focus, but not the advancements of African Americans in pro wrestling. Okay, so that's another topic right there. Here's what we want to concentrate on right here, though. Rush followed that up with a few more tweets to finalize his points. He pointed a finger at the fans for not doing better. He also said that they're the ones that, quote, killing wrestling and making this shit whack, unquote. All right, guys, listen. I know right here it's not really much of a story here, but let's just think about this right now, because he's specifically talking about the fans. And I know we've all had our opinions about fans, so let's not pretend as if maybe what he's saying you might not necessarily agree with. But listen, we know how it wasn't before the Attitude Era. We know how it was during the Attitude Era with the fans. I actually just watched a match this morning because I read CM Punk gave a shout out to John Cena, thanking him for the match at Money in the Bank in 2011. Which was a great match, and I saw a 5-minute clip, and I got so interested that I wanted to watch it on the network. So I watched the whole match this morning on the network. Fans, it was hot. Over 14,000 at the Allstate Arena. Fans were loving it. Now we're getting to before pre-pandemic. You could barely get, you know, you could barely fill arenas, you know, for even WWE, for even AEW, you know. Even during the pandemic, you see the numbers has fallen dramatically. The fans, for whatever reason, and we can all say that, of course, the generations are changing and there's a lot of different excuses we could come up against. But one thing for sure is that the way things, were to where they are now is completely different from the fans. And the fans, in many ways, I don't know if they're becoming more Smarkavelli. We have to talk to the king of smarks. But does he have a point here that the fans truly are killing the overall making of what was such a great industry, not anymore? Who want to take this one? Who want to be the first one? Leo Rush.
All right. Well, first of all, Leo Rush, I would just say I wish this guy would go away.
Okay.
Because as talented as he was in the ring, talented he was on the mic, he has made a mockery of himself after getting pounced out of WWE. And it's just, it's sad to see. For this particular topic, you know, there's a number of different reasons why the business is down, right? As more entertainment avenues become available, and things like that. And when you look at the product too, you become disenchanted sometimes. Before AEW came along, WWE had people that you thought were bona fide stars, and they just didn't do anything with them. So all these things are factors that, you know, could play a part into, where the business is at now. But I'll tell you, the business, to me, is moving in a better direction than where it was, you know, before AEW came along.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Anybody else want to take this on? I mean, the fans. I mean, what does Leo Rush have a point here? Yeah, go ahead.
I will say that there is some truth to this.
Okay.
But when I say that there's truth to this, it's the truth with anything. Us as human beings, the people that we love and put on pedestals, we're the same people in our nature sometimes that will knock them off. Mm-hmm. So it's not unbelievable that what he's saying to some degree that, you know, fans do kind of kill the business a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, think of all the countless storylines on heel turns, from a baby face to a heel turn, that incorporate this same exact reality. Think about countless comic books to where you have Superman immediately betrayed by the people. I mean, the shit writes itself. There's always something to be said to where fans are always going to think too damn deep about shit. They're going to blow stuff out of proportion, and they are going to sway, because at the end of the day, let's be honest, even the great WWE listens to the fans.
You know,
we talk shit about they don't, but they do.
Let me say this. You know, I this is kind of where I get aggravated a lot. So before social media came about, yeah, you know, there really wasn't, I mean, there was really no way to expose information about the business of what it'd be. Now, you know, everything gets exposed, even to the point, and this is what interests me, like you guys, for example, you don't care if you didn't see a match, but was already told that Keith Lee won both titles. You know,
it happens to me every week.
Yeah,
I'm sure. I'm sure.
Sparksville.
King of Sparksville. Yeah.
But see, something like that bothers me. I hate that. And to me, the fan, the wrestling fan, that kills that for me because I don't want to know. I want to live in the imagination of, I want to see what this is about to be. In some ways, I would say fans do. And it kills someone of the business. And that's just one aspect for me. You can think of many other different ways that they do that. So I think Leo may have a point here. You know, do the fans take some responsibility for the way this business is becoming? So I'm just curious, the last two to speak on this, Sin City or Matt Michaels, what do you two think? Is Leo just off his meds or is he's got a point?
No, he's not off his meds on this string of tweets.
Okay.
Now, other strings sure. of tweets, possibly.
Yeah.
Yes.
So ultimately, what we have to look at is this isn't just an issue with pro wrestling fans or marks or any of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is an issue with fans as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
What, regardless of what your fandom is, whether it's Game of Thrones, mm-hmm. you know, obviously those people that watched that show, you know how the fans turned on the last season of,
absolutely.
You know, of writing in that show.
Yeah.
Whether it's a football team, a baseball team, basketball team, if somebody's in a slump, oh, that guy fucking sucks, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they're constantly critiquing everything in front of them at that time.
Yeah.
And I think that what it comes down to is that it comes down to us as fans. We've had everything cater to us for so long that we have to have it exactly as we want it. And if it's not exactly as we want it, then it fucking sucks. And that's the harsh reality. That's not just in pro wrestling.
Yeah.
That's in every form of entertainment.
Yeah.
So that has to be acknowledged first. And it's, you know, for Leo to come on and say, you know, that we're killing wrestling. No, we're not killing wrestling. Fans as a whole are killing entertainment because we refuse to allow ourselves to be entertained.
Yeah.
And we've always been like that, even through history, I think. You know, go back to the Roman Empire. Like, it's never enough.
It's definitely gotten worse as of late.
All right.
Matt Michaels, it's a saying. I believe it goes something like, a broken clock could be right twice. With Leo Rush here, do you think with this one, he's got something correct here on his thinking about the fans ruining wrestling?
I don't think Leo Rush has a correct thought, period.
So his clock is still broken.
I don't know, man. So are the fans the reason Leo Rush got fired?
Exactly.
Well, in his case, no. But in the other cases he was trying to make tie into why he got fired, yes.
Hmm.
He made a valid point.
He's
he was trying
to use the fans as a scapegoat. That's a great point. That's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't, you know, the fact of the matter is let's face it. If you do any form of any type of entertainment at all, people are allocating their time to watching or listening to your product.
Yeah.
You know, and just everything in general has changed. You know, the way things are consumed are changed.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the fact of the matter is that really, is it that the fans are killing it. No, no. Mm-hmm. I think that you just go through growing pains. The real thing that would be killing it is the fact that what the companies present is just not something that the fans want to watch.
Yeah.
And also, you know, you got to think too, wrestling is a very, it's got a very complex ebb and flow.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone, you know, talks about the Attitude Era. Well, the people who talk about the Attitude Era are either the people who lived through the 80s of the WWF and then were part of that lull because everyone got out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden was like, oh, wow, this is fucking cool again, because guess what? I'm in my 20s now and I've got a disposable income. And, oh, that guy's flipping the bird. Well, back in the day, they didn't, you know, mm-hmm. say fuck or, you know, do anything like that, right? And then you get a different aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after the Attitude Era, you get something totally different. And then you get another phase. You know, it just, because it's an age thing, man. It's always going to be kids going into adulthood.
Yeah.
Right? So right now, you know, things are down because you're now another generation removed.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? People aren't fucking having kids like they were.
Right.
So, you know, you're going to lose a lot of viewership. And that's just because it's just the nature of, you know.
Entertainment.
Yeah. And it's also one of the only forms of sustainable entertainment over the years.
Right, yeah.
You know, but right now, you can say The Simpsons.
Yep.
I don't know how many people stopped watching The Simpsons after season 10.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
South Park is another one kind of behind them.
Yeah.
Because I feel the same way with regard to music and the whole rap scene. I'm not big on this new age trap, whatever it's called. To me, but like you were saying, because you were younger and you've grown up, you totally can't identify with what's out now. So we have become the old men in a way.
Yeah, well, don't make fun of Impact's Liberace records, man. It's all cool.
Whatever.
With the candlelights.
So really quick from the chat, Tristan says, it's the cyclical teardown and rebirth of wrestling. We've seen it dozens of times, and those who stay stagnant fall by the wayside. Just ask Jim Crockett and Stampede Wrestling.
Yep.
Mm.
Facts.
Yep. You do have to evolve and adjust.
Evolve or die.
Yep.
All right. That right there is our three count. But you know what? We haven't had one of these in a long time. We got a run-in here. A run-in to stop the three count. We're ringing that bell constantly. What the heck is going on? We're going to now just take a quick little opportunity for you guys to take a look at something, and we're going to talk about it.
Technically, yes, Joyce. There are no mandates here in the county of Waukesha or the city of Waukesha, although they do recommend keeping crowds to 100 people or less. However, the organizer of this weekend's event tells me that the capacity here at the Elks Lodge is way more than that. More than 300 people packed the Waukesha Elks Lodge on June 20th. No one seen wearing a mask or socially distancing.
A lot of people had fun. They were very much into it. It
was
a nice crowd. And as of today, nobody has contacted me or emailed me saying that they contacted the virus at all.
The owner of Bruce City Wrestling tells me he plans on doing it all over again this Saturday.
I offer face masks. I offer hand sanitizer, rubber gloves, and we also take temperatures at the front door. If anybody has a temperature of 100.1 or higher, I'm sorry, but you don't get into the building.
Is it enough to just offer a mask at the door? Should you be enforcing masks?
When the people come in, I tell them, do you have your mask? If not, I offer them a mask. Half of the people do take them and they do wear them. Do they wear them during the show? Sometimes they will, sometimes they won't.
Waukesha's mayor says he does not condone these events, but he has no authority to ban them.
I'm not happy with it. Obviously, I think, you know, having crowds of people, if you have 300 people in a large room together, the chance of transmitting COVID is pretty high.
Are you this weekend going to keep the crowd size to 100 or less?
If it gets to capacity, and honestly, I think capacity is 500 in there, we're not going to let that many in there.
Well, Caroline, do they anticipate a crowd that size this coming weekend?
Well, he tells me that they've already sold out their ringside seats, and he takes way more walk-ins at the door, Joyce.
All right, all right.
It's incredible to me, because I don't think this fucking guy wears the mask except for when the microphone was in front of his face. It's reckless. It's fucking reckless.
With the pandemic, young people are spending much more time online.
It's ridiculous. I mean, you know, first of all, it should be mandated. If they are going to run an event of that size, people should be spaced out. And it should be mandatory for you to wear a mask,
mm-hmm.
without question.
So that was referring to a show that took place on June 20th, right?
Right.
Waukesha, Wisconsin, on June 20th, 385 cases. Today, 830.
Wow. And how many
sense to me.
And how many deaths? Because they did show some deaths too, I thought. I thought it was like 40 deaths or something total.
Waukesha County's got 41.
41, deaths. You see the difference in, wow. And it was nobody in there that was wearing a mask.
Nobody.
I mean, realistically, at the end of the day, I mean, there should be further spacing between each person without question. And you know, if that owner doesn't, you know, feel the need to enforce a mask and that kind of stuff, I get it. It's definitely his decision to make in that instance. He is doing his part by offering and by suggesting that people wear the masks. I mean, at the end of the day, is he responsible for that stuff? Honestly, I say no. Mm-hmm. I say he's not responsible. At the end of the day, the responsibility has to go back to those people that made that choice to not mask up themselves or to put themselves in that situation.
Well, I mean, that's only good until they start holding somebody accountable. And eventually when they do hold people accountable, because we ain't got there yet, I haven't seen a state.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
put out a plan.
What it comes down to is, you know, as of right now, there's no precedence for that.
No, there's nothing. Not for the reckless individual or for the company.
Yeah.
And like I said before, I haven't seen a case yet. Not that I've been really looking to see anybody said this is exactly what you expect if you're not following this. Now, I will say this. Now, in the capacity of an event and everybody's wearing masks and he's doing what he's supposed to, how's that any different than when we got to go to Walmart?
Exactly. That's
I'm gonna be complete. And everybody's masked up at Walmart. They check at the door.
Right.
You're in 6 feet. Fuck that shit. That's thrown out of the
6 feet.
Woodwork.
Doesn't matter.
I'm gonna tell you that right
six
now.
6 feet. Yeah. You're not gonna have that at Walmart. Good luck.
So at the end of the day, when are people gonna start focusing? And okay, if in the confines of your state, whatever phase they deem, all right, because they keep saying mandate this, mandate that. Well, technically, mandate doesn't mean they have to wear the mask. And that's even in our own state of Nevada. But companies are making sure they're being proactive in the off case chance that they start holding companies accountable. That may be the next step, such as Walmart, such as certain stores that you, they mandatorily tell you, we will refuse business if you do not wear a mask. You know, but yes, it does come to individuals. At the end of the day, you know, you have to think about the bigger picture. I do get that it is a shot at your rights. I feel a little some kind of way too, having to wear it a little bit forcefully.
I don't.
But the bigger picture is you prevent the spread. Keyword, the spread. It's not about preventing someone from feeling some kind of way.
All right, but here's a point that I, you know, and this is fascinating that the media doesn't bring this aspect of it up. So you're looking at a small environment like that, and you're not wearing masks, right? Guess who isn't wearing masks as well? The wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
The people who are actually putting out the most breath with droplets because they're selling, right? Mm-hmm. So when you sell, you always do the, you know, stuff's coming out. So even with masks on, you're potentially at least blocking droplets, but you're still taking a risk of droplets.
True.
That's your choice as an adult person. That's what it comes down to. It's your choice. It's the wrestler's choice to get into the ring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, 1,000%. If you don't have wrestlers, you don't have a show.
Bingo.
But I think that's also the thing I'm saying is, let's be honest, between the two realms of holding people accountable for this, the individual or the company, I see them going the cheap way and immediately just hold the company accountable at some point. Because do we have the infrastructure state to state to state to start literally sitting on the side of the road or being at venues and saying, oh, you don't have a mask, you're charged, here's your ticket? I mean, that could take up to 30 minutes.
No, but the county,
that's what I'm wondering.
But the county can do something, and that's what we have here. You can't have a public gathering of more than X amount of people.
Mm-hmm. And they have to be, they have to have masks on, right? Is that the case? Or,
well,
it's mandated.
It's mandated, but here's,
but not enforced.
Right. Mandating just means they strongly suggest it. It's not a requirement.
Now, you basically have to wear a mask out here in public. All right. But when you go into certain businesses, they're not necessarily going to enforce that. The bigger companies are. Because the bigger companies don't want the lawsuits to be handed down.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, they're very simple. So the fact of the matter is that
smaller businesses are willing to take that risk, most likely because they're probably one-offs. Like this guy that we saw, even though he's talking a big game and he may go through it the second night, you know, I don't see him consistently having a calendar for the full year. I'm doing this show, this show, this show, this show.
Well, I mean, we don't know.
I'm only going off the report. I mean,
all I would say is this, Matt Michaels, you have a great interview that you do on Wednesdays with the Falco Fouls. Just do me a favor when you interview him. This guy from Bruce City Wrestling, owner and promoter, is named Frankie DeFalco. I just want to know if there's any relation. Okay? Frankie DeFalco. Is there any relation?
So basically all Italians are the same.
Ask him the damn question, Matt. That's all I'm asking you. Ask him the damn question. He's a owner and promoter of a wrestling organization named DeFalco. I want you to ask him, is he related? Can you do that?
He hit you with his daddy voice. Like you about to get spanking. Time out, some shit. Right? You're grounded.
If that's what takes you to get you to listen to it,
sure. I like the DeFalco Files. I listened to it. All right, guys. This is it. Let's give our final thoughts. Great show tonight. Had a good time with you guys. Our final thoughts, let's hit you up. Let's go. Sin City. What you got?
I just want to say thank you to everybody for liking, sharing, subscribing, checking us out, hanging out in the Facebook chat with us. Yeah, it's always a good time every Sunday, 8 p.m. Pacific time.
Yes.
So that's where we are, man. We're right here on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And as always, we are sponsored by Rep Sports, REPPsports.com. They've got all of your pre-workout, weight loss, and general fitness and wellness needs. Mm-hmm. Go there. Use coupon code VEGAS at checkout. Save yourself 15%. And that's that. Yeah, repsports.com.
Yes. Simon Street, man, what you got?
Nothing much. You know, just everybody continue to stay safe out there. Try to make the best decisions possible and be kind to one another.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. How about you, King Lucky?
Thank you for your support. Follow us on YouTube. We need more subscribers on YouTube. We're going to be posting a whole lot of content, so follow us on there. And again, thank you for your support.
Absolutely. Matt Michaels.
Oh, looks like the electricity's getting shut off. So good night, everybody.
All right, you guys. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week. Peace.
Biggest Bad Boys of Podcasting.